A1 Twice Loved Appliances and Furniture. We are the largest reconditioned appliance dealer in Western Pennsylvania, now carrying antiques and collectibles. Located at 1735 North Main Street in Butler, PA. Call A1 Twice Loved Appliances and Furniture at 724-285-7712. That's 724-285-7712.
Hofstadt's Cafe Monaco Restaurant in Oakmont, online at hofstadt.com. And the Chelsea Grill, an American grill in Oakmont, online at chelseagrilloak.com. Visit us for lunch and dinner. Bring the family before or after the football game. And good luck this season. Both restaurants located on Allegheny Avenue in Oakmont.
The noon lunch hour on Trib Live Radio is brought to you by Giovanni's Pizza and Pasta, delivering the finest in Italian cuisine at impeccable pricing. Named the official pizza of downtown Pittsburgh by the Pittsburgh Downtown Community Development Corporation. Call Giovanni's at 412-281-7060 or find them at ilovegiovannis.com.
The Giovanni's Pizza Hour for your lunchtime. Wash down your Giovanni's with something that you get from Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. See all weekly specials at duffysbeer.com or get your pumpkin and Oktoberfest beers before they're gone. Your South Hills Village headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. If you hoisted one as a college football fan, as a Pitt Panther fan, do so towards Narduzzi. He's a new head coach, defensive coordinator that came over from Michigan State, and it feels like his imprint on this team, Josh Taylor, has been felt right away. Joining us right now from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review is Jerry DePaula. Jerry joins us to talk about the Panthers, and you can hear the college football show on Tuesdays as well here on Trib Live Radio when we're done. Jerry, the defense, I thought would be better.
Wednesday. College football show is Wednesday.
I apologize, Wednesday. But the defense with Narduzzi, to me, is better than I thought it would be, even though I expected improvement. To the tune of 7 sacks that we saw against Virginia Tech. I mean, that game was strictly one on D, also getting 3 turnovers.
Well, I think that Pat Narduzzi has instilled a sense of energy, enthusiasm in this defense that Paul Christ and Matt House weren't able to do the last couple of years. And the funny thing is, that, Tim, it's the same guys. I mean, other than Jordan Whitehead, you know, the freshman starting at strong safety, and backup defensive tackle Mark Scarpinata, it's the same faces almost, and it's amazing how these guys are playing so much better. Now, I read the Roanoke paper coming home yesterday from the game, and there was a lot of complaints there about an inexperienced offensive line, a backup quarterback, which is what they use, who it wasn't very good. So you take all these things into account when you see Pitt have a great game like that. But they're 3-1, and the other thing about being 3-1, Tim, is the third consecutive year they've been 3-1. They went from 3-0 to 3-3 last year and ended up 6-6. So, you know, there's a lot of football left to be played, as coaches like to say, and they really haven't done much of anything yet. But really, they got a good leg up on a good season.
Yeah, and I'm glad Ken's not here today, because he'd be crowing as if his 9-win prediction already happened. Because he was still banging the drum for 9 wins for Pitt going into this game. And we went at it. I said there's still nothing more than a 7-win team, and that's a good number you bring up, because they have gone down this path before where they look good, they get you interested, they say, hey, you know what, maybe there is something here, and they can be better than anticipated. And then they have their bad home loss that you're not expecting. They have one in the bag on the road that they fritter away in the fourth quarter, and those are the two that you point to when you look back and you say, how do they wind up 500 again? So we should temper our enthusiasm after Saturday's Virginia Tech performance.
Yeah, the best example of that, Tim, was 3 years ago when they went to Notre Dame and took them into overtime. It looked like they were really coming on as a team. They ended up losing that game to the number 2 team in the country. And then the following Friday night, they go to Connecticut, and they look like a high school team. And that's happened a couple times over the years, you know, under Paul Christ, under Dave Wannstedt, under Todd Graham. Now let's see how Pat Narduzzi handles success. You know, I think every coach will tell you they're going to push, no matter what happens, and whether you win or lose, they're still going to push. But the next couple weeks is going to be a kind of a test for Pitt, because the teams they're playing aren't that good. Virginia's not very good. Now, they played 3 really good teams. They end up 1-3, UCLA, Boise State, and Notre Dame. But Mike London, their coach, is under a lot of fire. He could lose his job after this season. Georgia Tech was my pick to win the Coastal Division. They've lost three in a row now. They lost a 21-point lead to North Carolina on Saturday. So, you know, Pitt has an opportunity to, you know, be 5-1, maybe even 6-1 if they can go up to Syracuse and win before they play North Carolina here on a Thursday night.
Jerry, Pitt was a 5.5-point underdog per our pick and pork lines going into this game. But a couple reasons why I felt good about Pitt. One was their defense, maybe stacking up well against Virginia Tech's backup quarterback. But the other one was coming into this game, Virginia Tech had allowed 7.6 yards per carry to Power 5 teams. And according to ESPN's David Hale, Virginia Tech had allowed the most rushing yards against quarterbacks for anybody in the country. And Pitt comes in, Quadri Olison, 122 yards on 19 carries. Chad Wojtek runs for five times. He averaged 7.5 yards a pop. Pitt came in and ran the ball pretty well. I expected him to run well, but not that well. But what were your impressions on what the offense and how efficient they might have been, even though they didn't pop off the screen with only 17 points, but they actually moved the ball well enough to keep Virginia Tech at arm's length?
Well, I give Jim Chaney a lot of credit for devising the scheme. He was able to look at what worked last year against Virginia Tech, and Wojtek started that game, and he ran for 118 yards when Pitt beat Virginia Tech on a Thursday night at Heinz Field. He looked at that, saw it was possible, and he had five or six runs designed for Wojtek, and it worked. The other thing is that Quadri Olson, I mean, that series had a two-play series to start
right.
The third quarter,
yeah.
Unbelievably, laughably easy. Have you ever seen a team score quicker on the ground than what Pitt did? And those two runs by Olson for the last one was a 28-yard or 25-yard run for a touchdown. The Virginia Tech defense either is really bad or this offensive line is really coming together. Narduzzi made a point today of saying that on the left side of the line, Bisnawati and Dorian Johnson really got after people and knocking people off the ball on Saturday. On the other side of the line, Alex Officer was challenged by Pat Narduzzi. Officer and Rao at center were both challenged by Narduzzi to start knocking people off the ball. And they seem to do a little bit more of that in Blacksburg on this past Saturday. And Brian O'Neill at right tackle seems to be entrenched as a redshirt freshman starter. The line's coming together. And I said you talked about a 9-win season that Ken was predicting. I predicted 8 wins before the season when Pitt had James Conner. If Pitt does not win 8 games now after starting 3-1, it's going to be a very disappointing season, I think. And you know, all the expectations are always tempered and created by what happened previously. And I think Pitt fans now are expecting bigger things now that they've been able to show they can go on the road and win a big game.
You bring up Olison, and I wanted to talk about him anyway, Jerry. Do they just go with him now at the running back instead of pitter-pattering around here? Is he the guy now?
I think so. You know, Narduzzi puts out a depth chart every Monday, and typically he puts, you know, 2 or 3 guys in a starting position, and he puts the word OR, after a guy's name. Olison, it was an OR after Olison's name last week. It's gone this week. I think Olson is going to be the starter going forward. I think he'll still use Chris James, who's been banged up a little bit this season. But he runs hard. He's a big guy. He doesn't necessarily run away from anybody. And he's kind of built like James Conner. The other thing, one thing Frank Beamer said last week prior to the game was when he looked at film, he didn't see a whole lot of difference between Olson and Conner. Now, of course, even Narduzzi said that's Frank Beamer just being kind. He doesn't actually believe that. But Pitt has been able to put together a reasonable running game without a running back who probably, you know, definitely was an All-American contender coming into the season. You got to give the coaching staff and Olson himself and the offensive line a lot of credit for that.
Jerry, another thing I like about what this team did Saturday as to why they probably won this game, they controlled the time of possession, they ran the ball well, but they had one turnover the entire game, and Virginia Tech had 3, so they were +2 in a turnover margin, and they've been +2 against Virginia Tech and against Akron. Both of those games were road games, and they only allowed 100 yards of total offense by the other team in each of those games. It seems like when they're plus in the turnover margin and taking advantage of opportunities, it seems like they're in better position also.
Well, that's the key. If you can turn the ball over and you can take the offense out of its rhythm, you're doing a good thing. And, you know, teams have won the game, you know, by having a negative turnover margin, but it doesn't happen that often. Yeah. And Pitt didn't have those splash plays last year. Didn't have the sacks. We had 19 sacks last year in 13 games. Already they have 17 in four games. So it's a more aggressive defense. And one thing I remember talking to Josh Conklin, the defensive coordinator, in the spring, he said, we're going to stop the run. That's our first priority, is to stop the run. And here they are, four games into the season. According to the stats, they got the number four run defense in the NCAA. So, it looks good so far, and we can only go by what we see. But I think things are happening at Pitt, maybe not just this year, but maybe for years to come. And maybe some of these recruits are going to see this. There's going to be a ton of them at the game on Saturday. And if they can start recruiting as well as they seem to be coaching, maybe things will turn around at Pitt finally.
I was going to ask you as a follow-up about the run defense. This team is averaging 71 yards allowed rushing per game. They gave up 9 yards rushing to Virginia Tech, only 42 against Akron. Actually, their worst game stopping the run against Youngstown State, where they ran against 129, right. But they've given up less since then, and they've averaged 71 yards per game. I expected them to be better against the run. I didn't expect them to be this good this soon and get better this quickly.
Well, I give a lot of credit to the interior, the tackles. Now, Tyreek Jarrett, the kid from Alderdice High School, really has done a good job. He's 335 pounds, and he moves. And, I see him several times, either at practice or I remember in a spring game. He just sort of, when he comes in there and he throws a blocker away, he sort of spreads his arms out, like a big phoenix or something. And he's such a big guy, he must be, a load block. He moves quickly with his quick feet, and that's been a big, big issue, for our opposing offensive line, but to get this guy blocked, get this guy out of the way, and I think that's one of the reasons they're stopping the run. Another big reason is guys like Galambos, the middle linebacker, is playing much better than he used to play. Jordan Whitehead, sticks his nose in there at strong safety. For a guy who's not that big, Whitehead is a tough guy when it comes to run defense, and they just seem to be hitting it all at the right time. They're all maturing at the right time. They're running their lessons together very well. They got these iPads now. Every time they have a free moment on campus between classes or before they fall asleep at night, they turn their iPads on and they do a look over
class.
Video of the coming opponent. And they seem to be really taking things a little more seriously, a little more passionately than the Pitt teams in the past.
Jerry, really quickly here, the other two teams of local interest, WVU and Penn State. Lackluster for Penn State and bad weather again against Army. Their defense has been good so far, and thank goodness for that because the offense has not been. Meanwhile, West Virginia, if it weren't for the last 15 minutes and 20 seconds, that game could have been interesting towards the end. But once that big play was hit in the third quarter by Oklahoma, it was just downhill from there for West Virginia in the last quarter or so.
Well, West Virginia is in a conference, maybe a conference that's tougher than the one Pitt is in, the Big 12. Oklahoma, I've never been there, but I got to assume that's a tough place for a team to play and a team to be successful. I'm not sure what West Virginia's record is, in places like Oklahoma and Texas and Oklahoma State over the years, but it's probably not very good. Again, that's a team that is sort of, redefining itself and trying to make that defense, better. A couple years ago, the defense was horrible. And now it seems to be coming together a little bit. And until, like you said, the last quarter against Oklahoma, things just didn't go so well. It's going to be tough, I believe, for Dana Holgorsen to be a factor in the Big 12 race until he can start recruiting the kind of athletes on defense that he needs.
Jerry, thanks a bunch, and we will hear you Wednesday on the College Football Show.
Wednesday, 1 to 2 o'clock. Bob Cohn, John Harris, and I.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you.
Jerry DePaula here with us today. Ken Laird out, talking some college football with Jerry. And how are we doing picking pork this week? You and I are both 2-2, right?
Both 2-2. I got Cincinnati, and I got... what's the other one I got? I got Pitt. Those are two I got right.
Yeah, I did not get Pitt right. I probably should have gone with Pitt. Kind of forgot the backup quarterback situation. They usually do play well against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech did get its mandatory kick block along the way, too.
Beamer ball. They do it every year.
But long story short, when it comes to the Panthers, I think 8 wins would be a good season. Other people are going to be, like Jerry pointed out, if you get below 8, it's going to be feel like it's a disaster after this. But the point that he raises is the crux of where Pitt is right now. They tease you just a little bit into thinking that they're going to be better than what they are, and then they stay marginal. They stay middle of the middle, as we like to say, the middle of the ACC, which is a middle of the road conference at best. And you look at what Jerry just outlined, how they're 3-0 last year, and they wound up 3-3 before you could bat an eyelash.
And this might be He also pointed something else out that stuck out with me. This might be the year that if they're going to take a leap, now's when you do it. Georgia Tech is down. North Carolina, and they're still kind of lying in the weeds, but probably not as good as we expected. But there's a couple teams in the ACC right now that are limping. Virginia Tech is limping, and they took advantage of it. Georgia Tech is limping. They need to take advantage of it. Miami, for all intents and purposes, started out pretty hot, but they got exposed against Cincinnati. They're starting to limp a little bit. So if they're going to take advantage, now's the time to do it. And I thought they were an 8-win team coming into the season before James Conner got hurt. I got knocked down to 7 or 6 without him. But to win a game like Virginia Tech, knowing that you weren't at your best, but Virginia Tech also wasn't at theirs, those are the games you take advantage of. And if they play a couple more of them, if Georgia Tech is one of them, where they can take advantage of Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech's strength is their running game. If they can play even close to as well as they played in these last three games against the run, that's a game they can win also against Georgia Tech. So they might surprise a lot of people. Am I ready to go with Ken's 9-win prediction? Lord, no. But I'll stick to the 8 if they keep playing the way they are on defense right now.
Really quickly, do you think at this point, with what you've seen from Michigan State and Ohio State, whoever wins the matchup between those two, does that team that wins it also get a loss somewhere else along the way? I'm starting to think so.
I think so.
If Ohio State were to beat Michigan State, does somebody else beat Ohio State somewhere along the line anyway?
This Ohio State team, they look like the kind of team that would beat Michigan State and then lose to Michigan.
Right.
Like that would not surprise me.
Right.
And I have a couple good Ohio State fans in my family that live in Columbus, and they're feeling the same way. They go, look, we might beat Michigan State. Michigan State's good, but we're definitely afraid of losing to Michigan. And Michigan, for some odd reason, looks stronger and stronger. Now, whether or not that shutout of Maryland counts, because West Virginia beat Maryland 45-6, so I don't know if that counts for anything. But Michigan looks to be getting stronger as the weeks go on, and they beat up on BYU. And that's not to be discounted either. So it looks like Michigan's starting to get better. So I can easily see Ohio State beating Michigan State and losing to Michigan, but I can also see Michigan State beating Ohio State. I've been saying going into the season that whoever won that game would probably win the Big Ten. And I do like Michigan State. I like the fact that these two teams are ranked right now in the top 5 because I think they both deserve to be there. But yeah, I can see both those teams having a loss late that screws it up.